again. Good to see you and good to be here. Turn back again to Isaiah. Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45. I would encourage you sometime today or this afternoon or sometime this week to read beginning at chapter 43 of Isaiah through chapter 49, because there is a very stark comparison made by our wise God between the idol and the true and living God, the false God and the only God that saves. Let's begin by reading from Isaiah 45 at verse 20. God says, well, let's read verse 19. He said, I've not kept this secret. I've not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. The gospel's not something hid in a corner to be declared unto all men everywhere. I said not to the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. It's never in vain to seek God. It's always right to seek the Lord. I declare things that are right. Whatever God says in His Word, it is right. You can bank on it, believe it, and trust God. Now, verse 20 says, assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up wood of their graven image. They have no knowledge of the true and the living God who try to approach God on the ground of an idol, on the merit of an idol. They have no knowledge that set up wood of their graven image, their vain imaginations, and pray unto a God that cannot save. Now, why would any person, if he had any sense at all, pray unto a God or worship a God who cannot save? Thank God the God of Scripture, the God of the Bible, is God who is able to save to the uttermost all that come to God by Him, seeing He ever lived to make intercession for us. Tell them. Bring them near. Bring them. Tell them and bring them. We worship God here. Tell them and bring your friends. Bring your family. Tell them and bring them. Let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? This gospel that we preach is no new gospel. The gospel is as old as God Himself. We have no new message. Beware of that preacher who comes with a new thing. Something new, clever, novel. The message we have is the ancient gospel. It's the gospel of God concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? That there is no God else beside me. Now this phrase here is repeated several times, and we'll look at several places here. You probably noticed that. There is no God else beside me. Now there's just one true and living God. He is almighty, as we just saying a minute ago, He is almighty and He is merciful. Almighty and merciful. I am the Lord. There is no God else beside me, a just God. That means God is holy. He's a just God and He's merciful. Now you get a hold of that. I need a holy God, a just God, and I need someone who can extend mercy to me, not at the expense of His justice, not at the expense of His holiness. There is no God else beside me, a just God and Savior. There is none beside me. Don't look anywhere else but to this just God and Savior. He's called repeatedly the Lord Jesus Christ throughout the book of Titus. He's called God our Savior. And He is. He who is our Savior is our God, and we worship Him, and we honor Him, and we exalt Him. Now, verse 22, look. Where are we to look? Look to Him. Look unto this one who is a just God and Savior. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. Who is to look? Well, all the ends of the earth. Does that include you? Well, you on the earth? Look. Look to Him. Look to Him. Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, there is none else.
I have sworn by myself.
God's taken an oath. He, when he could swear by no greater, he swear by himself. I have sworn by myself. The word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. Whatever God speaks is right. And shall not return. Remember he said in Isaiah 55, the word shall not return unto me void, but it will accomplish all my purpose. Yet it will. That unto me, every knee is going to bow. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue will swear that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Surely shall one say. Now this is what every believer says right here. Surely everyone who knows this one who is a just God and Savior, we know this. Surely shall one say in the Lord, I have righteousness and strength. Now notice if you have this Cambridge that I have, the center reference on that. Surely he shall say of me, in the Lord is all righteousness and strength. The Lord Jesus Christ is the very Lord our righteousness. He is not only Jehovah Jireh, but he is Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. And surely this is what you would say this morning, isn't it? I need a justifying righteousness before God. Surely this is your confession, is it not? Surely this is what you would say before God. In the Lord Jesus Christ is all my righteousness. He's all my hope. He is all my very salvation and strength and hope. Even to him shall men come. And all that are incensed against him. And I pray there's none here today that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. You know what's said of the believer, those who rest on that foundation, turn over here to Isaiah 28. All those who rest on that foundation shall never be ashamed, shall never be confounded, rest upon the foundation of Christ. But those who seek to find that sandy and to stand on that sandy foundation, they'll be ashamed. They'll be confounded before the throne of God. Isaiah 28:16, therefore thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone. And this foundation is Christ. Salvation in no other. No other foundation can any man lay than that which is laid. A stone, a tried stone. That means it's tested. It's tested. It's sure. It's certain. It's precious. Precious to you who believe. It's a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. You know what that's saying there? When Paul quotes that in Romans 9, he says, they shall never be confounded and never be ashamed. Will never be forced to flee from that foundation, the Lord Jesus Christ. Will never be pushed out. Because he occupies, as our forerunner, he's entered into glory and he occupies the throne for us, seated at God's right hand. What's true of the head is true of the body. He is our head. And as the body of believers, we rest in him. For us to lose our salvation, God would have to remove the Lord Jesus Christ off the throne. That ain't going to happen. He's enthroned eternally. He ever lives to make intercession for us. Now let's see if we can work on this phrase for just a little bit this morning, found in Isaiah 45, verse 21. There is no God else beside me. A just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Now there is one thing made absolutely clear. When you read this chapter, there is but one true, living, almighty God. One true and living, absolute God. Now, let me show you some other places here. If you turn back to Isaiah 43, Isaiah 43, this statement is repeated over and over. And really, it's the message of all Scripture. There is but one Savior. There is but one salvation. There is but one gospel.
There is but one God. There is but one way God justifies the ungodly, and that is through the blood sacrifice, righteous obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah 43. Look what it says here, verse 11. Even I am the Lord, and beside me there is no Savior. I have declared and have saved. I have showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore you are my witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. See that? Now turn over to Isaiah 44. Isaiah 44, beginning at verse 6. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, his Savior, the Lord of hosts. He's the Lord of his elect. He's the Lord of hosts. I am the first. I am the last. Beside me there is no God. And who, as I, shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people? God's appointed a people unto salvation. I appointed those people, he said. And things that are coming shall come. Let them show unto them. Fear ye not, verse 8, Isaiah 44, neither be ye afraid. Have not I told thee from that time? Have not I declared it? Have not I declared it? Ye are my witnesses. There is a God. Is there a God beside me? Question. You see that? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Now, God is God. He's absolute God in all ways. Again, in Isaiah 45. In Isaiah 45, verse 5. Now, I am the Lord. There is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though you didn't know me. Now, you think about this. You think of the providence of God that kept you, protected you, and saved you until God crossed your path with the gospel. When you didn't know Him, He girded you. When you didn't believe Him, He trusted you before you ever knew Him, before you ever heard the gospel. I girded thee, though you didn't know me, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, there is none else. None else. I form the light. I create darkness. I make peace. I create evil or calamity. I bring these things to pass. I, the Lord, do all these things. Drop down, ye heavens from above. Let the skies pour down righteousness. Let the earth open. Let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. What? Salvation? Righteousness. Salvation's of the Lord, is it not? Now, one more scripture on this, if you'll find Isaiah 46, verse 9. And we could read others, but I'm trying to... This is overwhelming evidence, is it not? Not that we need overwhelming evidence, but God floods us with a multitude of scriptures to declare that He is a just God and Savior. He's almighty and merciful. Now, in Isaiah 46, verse 9, remember the former things of old. I am God, and there is none else. I am God. Now, get a hold of this phrase. There's none like me. What's He like? He said, there's none like me. What's He like? What is this God that there's none beside? What's He like? Well, He's a just God and Savior. There's none like me. Declaring, here's His character. Declaring the end from the beginning. Known unto God are all His works from the beginning. From the ancient time, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. My counsel will stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east. Bird or man gonna accomplish the purpose of God. Whether it's a bird or man, whatever means God chooses will accomplish His purpose. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, a man that would execute my counsel. From a far country, yea, I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I will do it. My friend, this is the God that we've come to worship and honor today. He is a just God and Savior. Now, what do we mean when we say that God is just? We mean this, that He is holy and righteous and sovereign in all His ways. God is what is the central attribute of the God that we worship? We say, well, God's merciful. Well, that's true. God is eternal. Well, that's true. But what is His essential characteristic? Turn to Isaiah chapter 6. God is just, but God is holy. God is holy. God is merciful, but not apart from His holiness. God is love, but not apart from His holiness. Isaiah chapter 6. You remember this in verse 1? In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face. With two He covered His feet. And with two He did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. Well, what's our response to that? Look at verse 5. Woe is me, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Have you ever seen God as holy, eternal, just, and lifted up, exalted? Okay, if God has shown you that, you'll see the flip side of that. That all my righteousnesses, all my best I have it, my best thought, my best point is filthiness in God's sight. It's sin. God is holy. God is just. God is righteous. God is sovereign in all of His works. He said, I've spoken it. I'll bring it to pass. I've purposed it. I'll do it. Can you count on it? Can you count on such a God as this? Yes, you can, my friend. You can trust the whole weight of your body, soul, and spirit upon His keeping, His care. We can trust Him. That's what it says here. In Isaiah 45, because He is a just God and Savior, He says, look to me. Look to me. Don't look to mom and dad. Don't look to your church. Don't look to your pastor. Look to Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and be ye saved. So God is holy and just. He's sovereign in all of His Word, His way, His work. He said, I've spoken in, He says it twice in this chapter, I've spoken in righteousness. The Word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness. Whatever God does, whatever He speaks, it's right. Remember what Abraham said, shall not the God of all the earth do right? And He will. He will. He's a just God. But now, wait a minute. He's also merciful. He's also our Savior. He's God, our Savior. Our God is merciful, gracious, and long-suffering to the salvation of God's elect. Now, turn to Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55. He is merciful. He is holy, righteous, and just. Thank God He is. Beside Him, there is no other God. But this God whom we worship is also the God, the only God, that delights to show mercy to sinners. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while He may be found. Call upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. Thank God He is holy, but thank God He delights to show mercy. Now, don't try to find this scripture. But let me just read it to you. But in the book of Micah, God says this in Micah 7, verse 18, who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passes by or passes over the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because He delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquity. Thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Thou wilt perform truth to Jacob and mercy to Abraham, which Thou hast sworn unto our fathers from the days of old. God delights to show mercy to sinners. I'm going to take my place before Him like that publican as a mercy beggar. And cry out unto God, be merciful to me, the sinner. He delights to show mercy. And He says, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm going to call. I'm going to beg Him for mercy, because He's a God who delights to show
mercy. He's a just God and Savior. Now back to Isaiah 45. A just God and Savior. Now this is demonstrated all through Scripture, how God is just and how He is our Savior. Let me give you several illustrations and examples of that. Adam sinned and was punished, right? Why? God is just. God is holy. But I tell you, God also gave His promise of mercy in that woman's seed that would crush the serpent's head. You see, God is just and He is merciful. We see another example of that. The world was flooded in Noah's day. You remember every imagination of the thoughts of all men were only evil continually, and God, the flood of His wrath, fell upon all sinners. God is just. God is holy. But yonder, on that flood of God's wrath, is an ark with eight souls saved by the grace of God. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. God, you see His justice, His holiness, and yet His mercy in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you all know that ark is a picture of Christ. God destroyed Sodom, right? Truly so. God rained fire upon Sodom and Gomorrah for their sin against God. God is just and God is holy. God saved Lot. God delivered Lot. All those who were in Sodom perished. God is holy. God is just. But God, on His errand of mercy, saved Lot and delivered Lot. Why? God is merciful. God is merciful. Did Lot deserve deliverance? No, Lot shouldn't have been in Sodom. But he went there, and yet it wasn't a hindrance to God showing mercy, because God is merciful and He saved Lot. The law was given at Sinai because God is holy and just. No doubt about that. The law was given to expose our sin. The law was given to expose the exceeding sinfulness of our sin. The law is holy, just, and good. God is holy. God is just. But also in that law was given a tabernacle, a covenant of mercy, a covenant of grace. In that tabernacle, there was the Holy of Holies. What was in that Holy of Holies? You remember the mercy seat on the Ark of the Covenant? The broken law inside and the blood on the mercy seat. God said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. God is holy and just. You see what I'm saying? And yet, He's a merciful God. He delights to show mercy upon the ground and merit of the Lord Jesus Christ and that eternal covenant of grace. We see at Calvary the supreme example of God's justice and His holiness, don't we? God is just and holy. That's why the Lord Jesus Christ is dying there at Calvary in the room instead of His people. God is just. God is holy. Where sin is found, it must be punished because God is holy. When sin is put and laid upon the Lord Jesus Christ and our sin is imputed to Him, what happened there at Calvary? The wrath of God poured out upon the substitute. Why? God is just. God is holy. But I tell you, in that we see God provided that Lamb of God that He might be the just God and Savior. We see God's mercy there, don't we, at Calvary. God loved us so that He gave His own Son to die in our room and in our stead. Now, let me ask you six questions. Six questions. I won't keep you much longer. Seeing that God is a just God and Savior, the command here of the gospel in verse 22, Isaiah 45, is look unto me. There's no salvation apart from this one who is God our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Apart from that blessed sacrifice He made on behalf of His people, that's not shed in vain. His blood is not shed in vain. It's effectual to satisfying God in every aspect of His attributes. Therefore, He says, look unto me. Look unto me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. Now, what are we to do? He said, look unto me. look unto me. Now, isn't this the same thing the Lord Jesus says? Turn over here to Matthew chapter 25. Same thing our Lord says to us. Because He is the just God and Savior, Matthew 11, 25. Matthew 11, verse 25. I thank Thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because Thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in Thy sight. All things are delivered unto me, my Father. No man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he whomsoever the Son will reveal him. He's a just God and a Savior. Now He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Where do we look? Are we to look? Unto Christ. Look to the Lord Jesus Christ and look to Him as our almighty Savior. Look to Him as the only mediator between God and sinners. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, that is a man, Christ Jesus. Look to Him as the object of faith. Faith has a foundation, it's the Word, but faith has a saving object. He said, look unto me and be ye saved. Look to Him as the all-sufficient and only righteousness which justifies before God. You remember Paul's testimony? He said, we count all things but loss, that we might win Christ and be found in Him, not having our own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness and the obedience of Christ. So we look to Him as our only mediator, our only Savior, our only sufficient justifying righteousness. We look to Him as the exalted Savior. You remember that promise? And let's turn over and read it in Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing, He said, that we have such a great high priest in Christ, seeing we have such a great high priest, let us come boldly into the throne of grace. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, when He by Himself purged our sins, sat down at God's right hand. Seeing that we have such a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, who is our just God and Savior, let us hold fast our salvation. Hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So what are we to do? He said, look! Look what it says there. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. He's a just God, my friend, and a Savior. That we may obtain mercy. Not earn it. Obtain it by His grace, that we might find grace to help in time of need. So we look to Him as the exalted Redeemer. We look to Him alone, not anything else. Not our works, not our religion, not our experience, not our feelings, not our church. What was it Luther said? Feelings come, feelings go. Feelings are deceiving. My warrant is the Word of God. Nothing else is worth believing. Look to Him, my friend. That's the command of God. Not to your experience, not to your faith. Look to Him. Look to Christ. Secondly, what part in salvation should we look? What part in salvation should we look? Well, He's called the Alpha and the Omega. He's called the beginning and the end. Look to Him for every part of salvation. From our election, to our redemption, to our calling, to our glorification. Look to Him in every aspect of salvation. Depend upon Him in everything, for everything in salvation. He's the Alpha. He's the Omega. He's our justification. We look to Him. He's our glorification. The Apostle put it this way, but of Him are you in Christ, who of God is made unto us. He's our wisdom. He's our righteousness. He's our sanctification. And He's our redemption, that we may glory only in Christ. God forbid we would glory in any other but the Lord Jesus Christ. So what part do we look? What part in salvation should we look for in Christ?
Well, Christ is all and in all.
Look to Him for everything in salvation. Now, let me ask you this. Thirdly, what is the encouragement to look? What is our encouragement to look? Well, He says, look unto Me, and here's our encouragement. Be saved. Doesn't that encourage you? Well, you need salvation? Well, look to Him. That's our encouragement. Look to Him and know that He's the only just God and Savior. Look to Him. You know, it's His command to look, to trust Him, to believe Him. God's commanded all men everywhere to repent. You have no option here. Look to Him. Trust Him. That's the command of God. And the encouragement here is that He is a Savior. There is salvation in no other. No other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Fourthly, what is the result of looking to the Lord Jesus Christ? What's the result of looking? In Him. Something else here. Here's another question. Who may look? Who may look to Him? Who may look to Him? Who may come to Him? Who may trust Him? Who may open Him? Who may call upon the name of the Lord? He said, whosoever. That's a pretty wide word, isn't it? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Who may look to Him? Look what it says there in verse 22. All the ends of the earth. All the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. Who may look? Well, you may look. You may look. We're instructed to go and preach the gospel to every creature. You heard the gospel? Has God given you faith to believe the gospel? Look to Him, my friend. Look to Him and trust Christ. Well, let me ask you this question in closing. When should we look to Him? When should we look to Him? Always. David said in Psalm 62, trust in Him at all times. You people, pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Look to Him always. When in the dark, He is our light. Look to Him. When we are weak, He is our strength. He said, My grace is sufficient. When we're hungry, He's our food. He said, I'm the bread from heaven. When in sorrow, He's our joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When in trouble, He's our comfort. We have a refuge in Christ. When in death, He's our life. Remember the promise our Lord said to Martha? Those who believe, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in Me, though he were dead, yet he shall live. He is our life. We have eternal life in Him. When in sin, He is our only Savior, our only Redeemer. When in need, He is our completeness. When are we to look to Him? You have a need. You in the dark. You have sin, look to Him at all times. When in need, He's our completeness. In Him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and we are complete in Him. When condemned, He's our justification before God. We read this promise in Scripture. There is no condemnation to those who are in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you see what He's saying here? Look unto Me. He said, I'm a just God. There is no God beside Me. He's just. He's holy. He's the only Savior of sinners. There's none else. Don't look anywhere else. Now look to Him. That's what He's saying. That's the command of the gospel. Look to Christ and be saved. All the ends of the earth. I am God and there is none else. There is none else. Drop down and look at verse 25. Then the Lord shall all the seed of Israel, that's His elect,
all the seed of Israel shall be justified freely by His grace, and shall be glorified
in Him. Well, I pray the Lord will bless that to your heart. And may God give us all grace to look to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is indeed a just God and Savior of sinners. Okay.
Let's turn to hymn number 17 and stand together. Hymn number 17. Good.